Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
So, Chris, we played your campaign again last time, and so where we left off was we had brought all these refugees from Toglak to the door of the hideout, one of the hideouts of the bounty list. And so myself, Maglath, Zyvir, and Solas, who at this time is still a fish because, one, it actually worked out because Caleb, who plays Solas, wasn't able to be there, and two, they still had that disease that they couldn't really survive out of water, so I'm carrying him around with Hound inside of the little...
It's like the St. Bernard's little jug thing around his neck. He's inside of that,
So I filled it with water, and I put him inside of that. But so we're going to speak with Dindis, who is one of the leaders of the bounty list, about like these refugees and giving them a place. And while we are on our way there, the outside of this hideout, the group was attacked by a bunch of dire wolves. We lost some refugees, unfortunately. It was just utter chaos. But so we pick up with, we're headed to talk to Dindis about giving these refugees some sanctuary from the warring factions that are going on outside.
Yep. And you guys make your way in there and you see Dindis. Dindis comes and greets you guys. And Zyvir begins explaining what is happening. He explains, this is what happened in Toglak. Like we walked in and the city was on fire. They had taken many of the higher up ranking officials in that city, or the people that had magical abilities, or just the most powerful people in general, had taken them out of the city on ships and in caravan wagons, wherever they were going. For whatever reason, the strong were being corralled. And you explained, we fought back, we helped these civilians fight their way out of these dire straits that they were in, and now they're here at the beginning of the bounty list. Like they're at the entrance just outside of here. And then you guys decided, well, are we going to be a people that takes in refugees, or are we going to be the type of people that turns them away? What are we going to do in these situations? And there was a lot of conversation that happened. There was a lot of conversation that happened. And so Dindis took all the information that you guys had and walked away to talk with the rest of the council. And you guys are kind of hanging out for about an hour or two. And Dindis comes back and he's like, look, this is the best that we can do. We can take them in, but they're not going to be just allowed to roam freely around the bounty list because we can't take that chance. They have to be put in cells. Like they have to be put in rooms that can be locked. They have to be put into jail cells where they can be held prisoner, not prisoner, but where they know that they'll get their, like they promise to give them their rations and things like that. But we can't allow them just to walk around freely. And that was the best that they could do. And so you guys took that information and you headed back to the group, not knowing how they were going to respond to being put into captivity, basically. For the bounty list.
My character was not.
Yeah, well, that really came out. Cages. Yeah, that really came out because of that story you shared a couple sessions ago about how Bors was put into a cage and poked with sticks and things like that. So there's that mental image that keeps coming back for Maglath every time he sees a cell or hears that type of thing. And now you as the group have to go back and share with these refugees that they're going to be put in these cells for the duration of this war or until they can figure out something else to do with them.
So Zyvir like starts explaining to them what happened and this is their choice. They can either leave and go hide, I think we said in the woods by themselves, or they can have sanctuary here, but they have to live in captivity because the bounty list is not okay with just letting them walk around.
Because they had that same idea of the Trojan horse idea that somebody would go and do, you know, something to give away the bounty list. Yeah.
Which now, like, really looking back, I'm like, I don't, like, as much as my character is completely on the side of freedom and go live in the woods, because he got more involved than he ever has, and he kind of did a a really bad speech, but basically was saying, like, don't, cages are bad, be free, don't go in here. And, but yeah, he, as much as he's for that, I'm like, I feel like there could be extreme consequences because Xavier explained to them that was your choice. And about a third of them decided we're going to go into the woods. There's no way.
Yeah, well, there was this big guy from the crowd that started to speak up and basically had the same sentiment that you did, that said, is this really, you know, quote unquote freedom? Like, is this any way for us to live, not knowing how long this war is going to go on, living in safety but behind bars? He's like, that's not how I'm going to live. I mean, we just lost a whole bunch of our family and now you're going to put us in cages? That's stupid. That's not the way that we're going to live our lives. And so he raised this alarm, and with Magla's help, with him giving his speech, he corralled about a third of the people that were in that room to leave with him and go back out and fend for themselves. But for some of the other people, they were like, no, like, we've been so scared, we've been so beaten up by this government already, we would rather stay in cages.
Safety is better than freedom for some of them.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a very interesting... It was interesting to see who chose what and just to have that discussion, and even to see the struggle between us as PCs and players of like, no, I don't like this idea. No, I don't, but I understand, but no, I don't care. Like, it was very, very, it was a difficult choice.
This is why I love presenting dilemmas to players. Like, you have to choose, and neither side really had a good outcome.
Yeah.
But it caused you guys to wrestle with some situations that there wasn't a clear outcome to it. And so, yeah, like I said, a third of the people left and two thirds of the people decided to go further into the tunnels. And you guys at that point in time, Xavier also decided to cave in some of these tunnels as well, just to prevent people from even trying to figure out a way out of here, to protect the bounty list even more in this situation. So he does that. Everybody gets into their cells, and the rest of the group is just kind of like, okay, what do we do now? And as you guys are kind of sitting around the main lobby area, the main hangout area, the bounty list, an argument breaks out between Dindis and another guy up on a balcony that you guys can clearly see. And so Xavier and Caesar decided to go up and investigate this argument that was going on. And Dindis, looking kind of calm, is standing there taking whatever this guy is saying, because the other guy's like in his face, he's yelling, he's probably spitting on him quite a bit, because that's what you do when you get angry, spit flies out of your mouth. and this guy was arguing like, are you kidding me? Like, the council hasn't decided that we're going to do anything about what this government is doing. What are we? Are we just a bunch of chickens that are just going to hang out in our cave? Like, what are we doing here? We've been building for this specific situation to fight for freedom when oppression would occur. And Dindis is arguing the opposite of that. Like, no, it's not our time. We have to wait for the right moment. And there's this back and forth just going between these guys. Like, it's the culmination of all of these things happening around this world that people's tensions are just getting really short with each other. And in this moment, Xavier is there and Caesar's there, and they're trying to figure out what in the world's going on. And in this moment, Ashtar Vesh comes flying in, as she usually does, and that flock of crows, that murder of crows, whatever it's called, comes flying in and appears before everybody. And this gets everybody's attention.
It was some really sweet imagery of these crows just flying and turning into Ashtar Vesh in front of all of us at this moment of complete contention and like argument, like, as going on. I just imagine like all this yelling and like, then all of a sudden this happens, and you start to hear these crows in the background, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they flock down, and it's just like,
whatever we were,
the only thing to be heard is crows, right. Just cawing, right. And then all of a sudden nothing when Ashtar Vesh is standing.
Yeah,
in front
it
of
got
us.
Everybody's attention really quickly, and she went on to, like, she had heard or knew what the whole argument was about, and she addressed it. She said, look, have you guys really forgotten what we're all about? Have you forgotten the people that you have in your midst? And she went on to share this story about, you know, her friends of old, and you guys have had these dreams that you guys were warriors of old. You've been fighting for these weapons because they were your original weapons. And at the end of this speech, she says something that will be really interesting to see how that plays out going forward. But she says, these are our heroes. These are the people that are going to help us get out of these situations. She's referring to you six. she says, these are the original Solarian Knights, which you guys have run into the Solarian Knights before, and they appear to be pretty corrupted from what you guys understand, from how you guys normally present yourselves as people that care about the good. They seem to be pretty corrupted. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens when you guys encounter the Solarian Knights again, knowing that you guys were the ones that started the Order of the Solarian Knights nearly 500 years ago to protect the island from whatever is going to come. And so at the end of that, she talks with you guys, with you six, and says, I'm sorry that I couldn't be there. I'm sorry I couldn't come back to you. But the Solarian Islands, the government of the Solarian Islands, Harlan Planer, has caught wind of these weapons being out there that I've placed. And I was going to look on them. And you guys only have two of the six right now. And she says that two of them are missing. Two of them are no longer there. So two of you guys are not going to get your weapons that will potentially have a great influence on the end of the campaign, but two of them are still there. And so you guys still have to go out and get these two weapons. You have to go out back into danger while the rest of the group just kind of simmers here. Or, you know, Dindus, I think at the very end said, or I think you guys had a conversation about it, didn't you? You guys had to decide whether or not you were going to go after those two weapons or whether or not you were going to start moving against the government in very tactical ways.
It was really hard, especially because, like, to make a decision to say, no, we're not going to go after these weapons when we know that, like, two of the players are sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so your characters aren't going to get the weapons. I think it was especially hard for me and Jared, Flawful Jared, because we already had gotten our weapons. So to be like, no, we're not going after the weapons, like, was a difficult thing to say. I'm glad I didn't. This was one of the few moments where it's like, hey, it's kind of nice not actually understanding common, because I don't have much say in this right now. I don't have to weigh in that much.
Right.
But yeah, I think it ended up being the two people who had weapons still. I think at least Casey, who his weapons were still there, he wanted to go after them. I think Howie didn't care.
Howie didn't really care.
Tyler just said no, but the decision was still left up in the air. And so we've taken a little bit of a break from just playing D&D just because life has gotten so busy. So we've had a couple weeks to think about it, and it'll be interesting to see once we do get back together and play.
Yeah.
What decision we do make, if we're going to go after the weapons or if we're going to stay and try to train these people to fight.
Yep. Yeah. And so we left again with a huge dilemma that you guys have to try and figure out. And me as a DM, I'm really excited to see where you guys take the story. I'm really excited to see. I have both routes kind of planned out a little bit. If you do decide to go after the weapons, I've had that portion of it planned out for a while. I didn't foresee this other path going on, but I started planning on that, and there's some interesting things that could happen to you guys if you decide to go on that path instead of get those weapons. So you as a listener will just have to wait until we pick that up again. And until then, we hope that you continue to listen to the Dungeon Master's Block.
Thanks for listening to this week's story time. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters, and what they have done within our worlds. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.